So, Pat, I had somebody reach out to me on Twitter and pose us quite a good question. It's from the user at Nightshift.
Ooh, like that username, by the way.
Yeah, it's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
The best app on my phone is the off button. That's what he'd like us to discuss. And I quite like that. So, you know, the idea of the best feature, not necessarily being that our phones keep us connected, but they, you know, that sometimes it can be best to disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this reminded me instantly of a fantastic post of yours a little while ago in regards to turning your iPhone onto airplane mode.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That tweet resonates with me for sure, and certainly resonates with the one of the ideas of the post, which was to, you know, be respectful of the time you have, the face to face conversations that you have. Like, you know, it's funny. This came up, as we record this, my friend Randy Murray. Captain Randy on Twitter, CPTN Randy, is here visiting, and he's staying with me in my humble abode in our guest room. And we were talking about so last night, you know, first of all, I picked him up from the airport, and he, you know, we went and grabbed some lunch real quick, and we were set to record an episode of The Bro Show with you and Terry. That's at thebroshow.co.uk.
Thank you, sir.
Mike's other show. And you know, so we recorded that episode, and then I kind of roped him into recording an episode of Enough. And so we did that, and then it was shortly after that that Beatrix came home with Bethany, and so then we ate some dinner, and we had a bottle of wine, and, you know, played with Beatrix and talked and just had a good time. Excuse me, that's my dog.
I didn't know you had a dog.
I have a dog, yes. And he's got a very loud bark. He's a Quichand, which were bred to be Dutch barge dogs in the Netherlands. They're watchdogs. They're a sentinel breed, and so they have a very loud bark. It also keeps us from having to have a doorbell, which is great. And that kind of brings us right back to the idea of opacity and disconnecting and such. So, you know, here Randy and I were just having a wonderful time, and Bethany, my wife, we were all talking and having this great conversation, and, you know, there were a few comments on Twitter from, like, oh gosh, that's why you guys have been quiet, because, you know, you haven't tweeted, you haven't said anything all day. I thought you guys had gone missing or something. You know? I mean, but, like, you know, you get what I'm saying? It's like people, we were having social media, you know?
Yeah.
Live face-to-face social media. We didn't need to tweet it. We didn't need to capture it on with photos and post them to Facebook or even to Path. I didn't post. I've yet to post a single picture of him visiting to my Path, for instance. And so, yes, that general sense and idea that you can't let this technology interfere with your real life connections and communication. And you want it to assist that and to augment that and to allow you to be able to, as I discussed in a previous episode, you know, you have this second self that lives out there that, you know, that you kind of has, you know, stands in your proxy while you're away, that people can kind of send messages to, and, you know, it has to be, all of that stuff has to be done on your terms and your time. And the moment that is getting in the way of the face-to-face communication, that's the moment that you need to turn it off. You need to hit that off button, you know? And so the post I wrote about airplane mode was all about, here, you know, a happy compromise, right? Turning off your phone to the external, or I should say, turning off your pocket computer to the external, because that's really what we're talking about here.
Mm.
But still having the use of a computer that will would help to augment that communication.
Exactly, because these my iPhone, my life is in there. So just because I'm sort of sharing dinner or something with someone, then as your example in the post, you have photos you want to show someone. Well, they're on my iPhone, you know, or a little movie you want to show someone of a family member doing something crazy. It's not so much that you have to turn it off completely, but just stopping that direct communication people can have with you.
Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, as the spirit of my post, and you know, that when I was out with my friend, it was, you know, we were sharing photos and you know, talking about things that I wanted to make note of, or, you know, just kind of, you know, type in a link or an idea real quick or something like that that came up in conversation. So, yes, it allowed me to use the device in a way that assisted the conversation and not interfere with it. And, you know, it's funny. I think more and more there's becoming almost a backlash against the phone. Like, you know, the phone, you know, talking on the phone has become people's, the last thing they want to do, right?
Yeah.
I recently saw a post on this that spawned some linkage in chat or other places. I can't remember exactly where, but I'll find it and put it in the show notes and such. But, you know, basically someone saying that very thing, that, like, you know, that they're, you know, they're perfectly happy with their iPhone as a communication device, but, like, they hate talking on the phone, and they wish their phone never ringed. Like, it wasn't about the coverage or, you know, the iPhone dropping calls or, you know, holding it wrong or anything like that. It was about, like, you know, what they really would like is an iPod Touch with 3G, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, the phone wouldn't even be an option. They wouldn't have to ever hear it ring and, you know.
And iPad.
Essentially, an iPad and an iPod Touch version. I think there's a market there for that.
Well, for an iPad?
No.
No, for an iPod Touch with 3G, yeah, there is. I agree with you there, because there's so many people that that feel that way. I mean, I think John Syracuse has spoken about this, because he doesn't have an iPhone.
Yeah,
okay. He was talking on Hypercritical, his show with Dan Benjamin, and he's saying that he just uses his iPod Touches at home, because you can get most of the apps for them. They give it obviously a very similar experience with the internals and the speed of the device to the iPhone, and it stops it ringing. Because how do you feel about talking on the phone? Like, how do you feel about your phone ring can ring at any time? Do you like talking on the phone, or?
It's, you know, I don't know that I wouldn't necessarily say like. I don't necessarily hate it, and it certainly is one of the ways that, you know, people get in touch with me. That said, I increasingly am forgetting to, like. Like, once it's not really forgetting. Yeah, I think I do. Now that you bring it up, I think I might have some cognitive resistance to, like, voicemail, for instance.
Oh, voicemail. The worst thing. It's because you can't really do anything with it. I mean, you can listen to it, but usually people are giving you information in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And being given information in a one-way audio. Oh, God. Podcasting is awesome, by the way. But we do provide show notes. You know, please don't take this wrong. I imagine someone going, this is one way. But, do you know what I mean? Like, because people are giving you telephone numbers to call them back on. But they're speaking it to you. You can't ask them to repeat it. You have to go back and listen to the whole message again.
Yeah.
And if it really cost you, like, $10 by this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Voicemail is terrible.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I like Google Voice. I use Google Voice as kind of my main mobile number. People who have my direct mobile number are few. And, you know, are generally like my wife, you know, or, you know, or my dad, for instance. There are very few people that have my direct mobile number. And, you know, because one of the things I like about Google Voice is the ability to control those sorts of things and say, you know, when this group of people calls this number, here's what I want to happen with that call. Because you can say, I want this to go straight to voicemail, or I want it to ring this phone but not that phone, or, you know, you have that kind of level of control. The other thing I like is that, and although it does this with not a high degree of accuracy, but with enough, close enough to get the general gist, it will transcribe and email the voicemails to you.
Yeah.
And so for me, that makes it a lot, I like that a lot more. It makes it easier for me to take action on, easier for me to, like, you know, just say, okay, I want to make this into a new task in OmniFocus, or, you know, I want to be able to click the number on my iPhone and have it launch the phone app and call that person. You know what I mean? I guess it allows me more ways to process and to choose how I want to respond back to that voicemail than, say, someone who leaves me a voicemail just straight on my iPhone with no transcription is something I kind of have to listen to. And so I have to wait till I'm in a space where I can sit and listen to that voicemail and capture the information I need to capture, you know, with a pen and paper, or I'm at my computer or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the luxury of choice in that regard is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, say, for example, with all the ways that we can communicate with each other, now, you know, we've got IM and Skype and Twitter and IRC and, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Text message. With people that are close to me, I have multiple conversations running over all of these different services. Or, you know, if somebody's sent me an at reply, I can take it to email if I want. And because of the technology, allows us to do that. And it seems that Google is trying to allow that with voice. Although, unfortunately, not outside the US.
Yeah. But I can't.
Maybe one day.
I think possibly one day. You know, I'd say, I don't know what their barrier is to that. You know, it might be, you know, here in this country, you know, number portability and things like that, and being able, you know, a place like Google to get a big block of numbers that they can then hand out to others is possible. Yeah, see, that might possible. Be
quite difficult.
It was probably quite difficult when you have, you know, say a state-run telephone service or whatnot, like you do in the UK.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's less territory to assign area codes to. But yeah, and also there's so much regulation involved in that sort of stuff anyway, isn't there? You know, Google don't need to get themselves involved into it.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, keep in mind, this Google bought this technology from, it started with Grand Central, and then Google bought Grand Central, and unlike Yahoo, Google sometimes does things with the places that they buy. And only recently, I think, is only within the past few months that it was actually kind of released and made available to anybody. Like, for a long time, it was closed completely, like, after they bought it. I mean, it was like a good, I think, like a year and a half that,
yeah,
like you couldn't even, like, I couldn't even hand out invitations. Like, no, you know, it was like completely closed. Something like
that's got a scale, though,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So, I think that, you know, I think technology will get better there, but, you know, I think increasingly people are choosing, you know, in the hierarchy of communicating, you know, they're choosing Twitter and Facebook, then they're choosing email, You know, if you're younger, you're choosing SMS somewhere, probably either in those top three. And the phone is becoming like this dead last thing that, like, you know, I only talk to my mom on the phone because that's because she doesn't know how to do any of those other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that that's increasingly becoming the case. I find it interesting. But, you know, then again, I also find it interesting that people are starting to realize that being constantly connected has a tremendous number of benefits and can really enrich our lives and enrich our connections and our conversations in a multitude of ways.
Yep.
But it can also be a barrier to those things. And that is all about how you choose to approach the tool and how you choose to use it, and that it's just as nuanced as anything else. You know, that there's times and places for and context for what is appropriate communication wise and interruption wise.
Yeah.
So
couldn't have put it better myself, sir.
No. I think, you know, I think we've said all that I really have to say.
Yeah, it was a great suggestion.
Yeah, it was a good suggestion. And, you know, I like the idea of the off button, the power button being a feature.
It is.
So,
yeah, if you have any suggestions, feel free to send them to me or Pat on Twitter. I'm at iMike, I-M-Y-K-E. And that beautiful man over there is Mr. at Patrick Rohn, which is PatrickRhone.
Love it. Thank you, my friend. And I guess we'll talk later.
We will.
All right. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye.